This is...
Wow! What a week.
What a week. Politics.
Eita, welcome to another edition of Wow, What a Week. Hashtag Politics with Fresh and Botsang. Brother.
Yes, good morning, DJ Fresh.
Ukraine.
I'm okay, my brother. I can't complain.
Yes, sir. Working nice and warm. I'm going to work in the waist coat to the safari. It's the African dictator.
It's not the nicest, but it's cold. So I had to take care.
Mine is by Kosinkosi.
I saw that. It's very nice.
I'll ask her to make you one so that at least it'll be fashionable.
Right
now, I've got to get GQ. We're now Hunters SA.
But it's beautiful because he makes very nice clothes.
No, she's incredible.
Yeah.
In fact, she'll be dressing me for the Durban July, so you can look forward to that also.
Okay.
Let's get straight into it.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of fashion, there's stories of caps being stolen and being taken to Malawi to bewitch or work on Duduzani Zuma. We've heard over the last 30 years that if you need a traditional worker, Malawian traditional workers work.
Yeah, apparently.
What
as we grew up, apparently if I want to deal with you,
yes,
Malawi is the best place to be.
But you can also still go to a church after that. make it make sense. But anyway, what is happening with Floyd Shivambu and the MK Party?
Look, Tato, you know, I remembered a video that I made after Floyd left EFF.
Yes.
It's a recording we made separate, you know, because it's breaking news. And I said on that video, I wonder if Floyd will cope in the controversies apart.
Sure.
Because MKP was started on reasons of, what do they call this thing, of people were saying it's a traditional Zulu party.
Yes.
There's tribalism and all that. But also coming from an organization where you were a deputy president.
Mm.
And then you go in, I think I said it last week or 2 weeks ago, the mistake that the MK party did with Floyd was to propel it to him to be the secretary general. I think he was okay as an organizer in targeting the former followers of EFF, the people in Limpopo and so forth. But he met with resistance inside the MK because people have been crying that people are being parachuted to positions.
Yes.
And it has become out clear now that he has not been having a nice time, actually, with inside MKP, as we thought.
No, but the minute there was beef with Duduzile.
Yes.
I knew that the writing is on the wall.
I never thought it would go to that far.
Because as much as they're trying to downplay the fact that it's a family business, the bottom line is, if you're going to get into a fight, let me party.
Yes.
Eventually, there'll be a problem.
Yes, Tato. It's not supposed to be like that. You know, an opposition party, official opposition party of the country. MK has done not even what the EFF did in 2013 when we look at numbers.
Yes, sir.
And we should not reduce it to a spaza shop, Safri Mini Konkanda. I think there'll be...
No, there are a lot of family... Discam is a family business and it's worth billions. Look, so to call it a family business doesn't mean it's a spaza shop.
Yeah, but I'm look, there's the American politics, it's families, the British politics, it's families.
In fact, the White House is full of the Trump family, right?
Exactly.
So to say it's a family business is not to say it's parza.
Yeah.
But it's to say if you interfere with family dynamics, unfortunately, eventually, you come out second best.
To this day, we don't know what interference. We don't know what irked Duduzile. We don't know what interference did Floyd cause to Ken irked Duduzile. We don't know. I don't think it's the only thing. Having have listened to him now in the past week.
But also the way he's carrying on, not to me, he's sounding a tad unhinged.
He's sounding
a tad, why don't you count to 10? And then reconsider.
Exactly.
It sounds like road rage. I always say, the minute you feel road rage coming, count to 10.
Yes.
If you still feel like saying, yeah, when I've take, then say it.
Yeah.
Count to 10 first.
You won't even arrive at 10 if you are in good spirits. You can say, you know what, let me drive away and leave this whole thing.
Absolutely.
I thought he realized that. But the mistake he did, he left when it was too late. But when he realized that it's going to be rageful and there's going to be problems, he left. the manner he's doing it. And I always tell people, the manner of doing things, it's what counts most in many things. Mm. Floyd should have, and we'll come to the politics part of it, focus on what he's intending to do and not insult and not call people names and start talking things of witchcraft. Who will take him serious at this damn age?
Calling people druggies, alcoholics.
And, yes, and alcoholics, you understand? Mm. And somebody was saying to me, he may change. So my brother Papi was saying Floyd will just go in the court papers because now Nhlamulo Ndlela has filed, served him with court papers or legal papers, not court, legal.
Isn't a political statement an argument that often they give?
I think they are going to fall into that conversation to say, no, but it was, I'm quoted out of context, that under political statements, there's a difference between saying to a person, you are a paluka, you are a fool, you are corrupt in the political context. Mm. But to stand up and say a person is a drug, a junkie or addict, and then you mention the name, see, that's personal now. It's no longer in the political context. Mm. You know, to say to people, like we've seen in Parliament, even the speaker at some stage once said, after the Willie Madisha star, people must close their eyes. He didn't talk about Willie Madisha that he was drunk. It was that after his stance, the speaker then said, actually, they think the bar in Parliament must start closing earlier than 10 o'clock because people come to Parliament the following day, blah, blah, last.
Wasn't there a time Julius Malema, CIC of the EFF, made an accusation against Minister Naledi Pandor?
Yes, yes.
And Juju said there was a political statement.
Yes.
But it was still personal, though.
It was personal, yes. It depends, Tato. People take drugs. For me, some people think Botsang is an alcoholic, Tato is a drug junkie. Mm. Okay? You know, I'm using examples. Mm. It is more personal to say a person is using drugs because it's an illegal substance.
Sure.
While alcohol is not illegal, it is not illegal to get drunk in your house. It's not healthy. It's not recommended. But if you get drunk in your own private space and you don't drive and you don't get to public places. But I think he lost the plot when he became personal. The witchcraft issue, the 7 million, which he must be part of it. He was the SG. He was the national organizer, then the SG, the member of the central command, high command team. Which bank in the Republic of South Africa will give Jacob Zuma or his members or followers or even 7 million every month? Which bank will do that? It will raise eyebrows. Banks would have already picked that up. And if you make such utterances and allegations and you don't provide material evidence to that to support what you are claiming, it becomes a problem. I think he started on the wrong foot, but thumbs up to us. Last week, remember, we predicted what's going to happen. And I said, I think he's going to walk along the lines of even the timing, the dates of the national dialogue. He's going to come up. You even made an example with how Bosa started. Mm. We said it before their conference last week to say he's going to come and announce it that way. And he did exactly that.
What caught my attention, though, and I don't know if he was doing this because Ubaba also did it with the ANC, to say, but I'm not leaving the party.
He is actually giving Jacob Zuma his own medicine, that Umkhonto Wesizwe allows dual membership.
Yes.
So he's not leaving. But he became smart by saying, I am not forming a political party, I'm consulting. You know why he did that?
Yeah.
The Umkhonto Wesizwe constitution, I listened to Nhlamulo Ndlela yesterday, during the week, when he said the constitution of the of Umkhonto Wesizwe for a certain period, I think the first 6 or 12 months, doesn't allow you to belong to another political party.
Yes.
And they are saying Floyd wrote that part, and he should have known. They acknowledged that he actually was the main draft and crafter of the constitution. So you can have dual membership, but within a sense, they put a period, a time frame to it now. And that's why Floyd did not say, I'm forming a political party. He's buying that time.
Sure.
You understand? He's buying that time. He became smart in doing that. What caught my attention was when he started mentioning big names that is engaging, the Patrice Motsepe, the Dr. Khoza, Grootakiza Motaung, the Shembe Church, and others, because that is the space that Umkhonto Wesizwe had given him when he was an organizer, to go and play in that space, to go and awaken.
So he's got that ears already. He's got that ears already.
He's got, exactly, you know, and he has been working on that to awaken the sleeping giant and influential people in South Africa. And he's taking this, I don't know what you call it, a dialogue or a conversation or what, but if you look at Twitter, on social media, he's getting a backlash. I know there's very few people compared to what many had expected and the status of Floyd in South African politics.
That is because, like I said, he is lashing out. I wonder if he sounded measured in everything that he's...
Like the Floyd we have known.
If you sound measured and you sound like you're in control, you sound like you know what you are doing.
Yes.
But the minute you're sounding angry, you are lashing out, eventually nobody takes you seriously.
Yep. And that's
even
the mistake.
If you come with strong points or you argue things that make sense. But the fact that you sound like you're out to get everyone, and that you're going to drop a grenade in this room before you walk out of that room.
Yeah, yeah.
It becomes problematic.
It is a problem. And for me, if I don't have a political home. If I was looking for a political home, I'm not convinced, because there is nothing new that he did or say different from when the EFF was formed, different from when COPE was formed, different from when MKP was formed. Sure. One of the things that Floyd has been talking about, Mr. Sivamu, has been, let us not divide the black vote.
Sure.
When he joined MKP, he spoke about how he even had differences with Julius in the EFF to say, let's throw our weight behind Ubaba, not because of is Jacob Zuma, but let us consolidate the black vote. Remember, they were talking about that time, the progressive forces coming together and all that. And now the question is he not doing what he said it should not be done at this stage? Is he not dividing the black vote?
Yeah.
South Africans are irritated with the number of political parties. You will recall that in the last elections, 2024, the national ballot had almost 46 political parties.
Sure.
And independent people. People are hurtful in this country regarding the number of political parties. And I'm saying it doesn't matter who was going to do that after controversies was formed. It doesn't matter. There are other parties that came after. When you look at Rise Mzanzi, when you look at what Colin Makubela and the former COPE members were doing to try and form a consolidated, you know, front as well, it has dismally failed. And I think the sooner the politicians realize that the electorate is no longer excited about their shenanigans. And the methodologies they used to build political parties, they're exhausted now.
Sure.
Freud can't use the methodology that he used when the EFF was formed. And again, you know, this is very personal for me. It came out again when we formed the EFF, that irritates me because they are not also telling the truth. I've never been challenged by anybody to say...
You were there when the EFF was formed.
When we formed the EFF,
yes.
Freud and Julius were not there.
Sure.
So this story that they founded the EFF, I challenge anybody to say, come to the table with me, I'll show you the dates, I'll show you the meeting minutes. They were not there. They were still facing their disciplinary hearing in the EF, in the ANC. Actually, it was their appeal.
So who was there?
People like the late Lufuno Kokoro, Andile Mngama, Kenny Kunene. Actually, what we did at that time, we sent Kenny Kunene to, and others from the youth league who were already in there, to go and engage Julius.
Sure.
They went to Julius's house. They then invited Julius to Kenny's house to go and engage him. We had already had meetings from January 2023. And there's records.
Not 2023.
Sorry, 2013.
Yes.
January 2013. So this story that Floyd and Julius are founders of the EFF, they from the EFF, I can challenge Floyd and Julius. I can sit in front and say, no, you are not. You were not even there. You were invited to the party that we had started because he had just been expelled. And the EFF, the name was not even there at the time. Yes, the story of economic freedom in our lifetime, it came with them from the youth league.
Yes.
And all those slogans. And I've said before, the first constitution of the EFF was even drafted and written wholly and solely by one of the leaders of September National Mbizo, completely, the founding, you know, constitution. So people think forming political parties is a one-man or two-man show. It is quite a lot. I like the names that Floyd has mentioned in you know, people who have been ISO, but also some of them are old. How do you mention engaging Patrice Motsepe when he is a member of the ANC? The ANC has already, some of the sectors of the ANC have pronounced Patrice Motsepe that he must contest. And this dialogue, and then there's a national dialogue. You are also timing. There's nothing wrong in challenging the president. I'm one of the people who actually wants to challenge the presidential national dialogue to say it won't serve the purpose of what the country needs. But Floyd has announced that he's going to go throughout the country and find like-minded people.
Sure.
One of my mentors in my career in life, our former board member at work, wrote to me and said, you know, Botsang, I think you must join Floyd. He's thinking along your lines. Maybe you'll join. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not joining anybody. I'm not supporting anybody because I'm not a politician. And this country, Tato, does not need politicians at the moment. Actually, the world has given politicians too much power.
Sure.
And they have messed up the world. And we need level-headed civil servants, people who serve the people, people who care about the people. And they can come from various sectors. This thing of banking on political power, look at the mess the country is in now.
Because unfortunately, ultimately, career politicians are self-serving, regardless of which party they go to.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's why I was
it becomes a stomach issue. And as much as, yes, Lebo Nabasinya, in a lot of countries, unfortunately, in the global north, people join politics after making their money.
Yeah. And they sit in there for power and money. Once they make their money, like in South Africa, they want consistent money. I think if Floyd was deployed to parliament, he would have not left the MKP.
Sure.
Because he would still have a stable salary. And MPs earn a lot of money. It's almost $1 million for the most junior MP.
But he says he was expelled, or they want to expel him based on a trumped up intelligence report.
Intelligence report, yes. You see, these are some of the things. Again, there are senior members of the organization. When Duduzile, yes, Duduzile, they always confuse. Duduzile misbehaved. The organization put Duduzile through a process, a disciplinary process, which has not ended, by the way. As much as people say she's the daughter of Ubaba, and I said, and Floyd kept quiet as a disciplined member to allow the process to unfold. Why, when you have, and I don't want to talk about Mr. Floyd Sivambo on this one, why, when you have problems with the organization and it has a constitution and guidelines, you don't engage along those guidelines? Even if they differ with you, there's nothing wrong. And I differ with a lot of people, whether it's at work or at home. There's nothing wrong to principally differ with your comrades or your people. And the 7 million, when you saw it happening, he didn't have to come and tell us. And either way, did they steal? Whose money is it?
For those that missed the 7 million part, what is the story of the 7 million?
The 7 million, Mr. Sivambo was saying in Mkhonto, is every month there was withdrawals in the accounts of 7 million rands. He doesn't state by who. And they said there was withdrawal of 7 million. Tato, political parties spend hundreds of millions. Somebody may say 7 million is nothing, depending on what you have the money, when we'll account for it. But you know what was the link of the 7 million? The link was that Morocco, the country, is funding controversies. You understand? That was the expose. He wanted to, because people were going to see, where will controversies get 7 million every week or every month?
I was going to say, 7 by a month is a lot of money for any party.
Yes. You understand? Yeah, it's a lot of, yeah. So I think he wanted to expose the fact that there is money here. But you think if controversies received 100 million or 300 million from Morocco, whoever, they will put it in their bank account? They won't.
Because then it must be declared.
Then it must be declared. And who's your source? So remember, South Africa has a political party funding bill now, or act. So I don't think they are that stupid. But true, when we have differences, and I don't use facts and logic, I use personalities and dirty linen. I wash your dirty linen. Then I will lose the plot.
Sure.
But in my opinion, do we need another political party? No. Do I think Floyd will succeed in forming a political party? My answer is capital no. After what has happened transpired, he's a very smart person. And sometimes people who are popular because you are around a populist. Julius Malema is a populist. He's a crowd puller. That's why we brought him to the EFF, because we knew he will bring crowds. He's got that personality.
Sure.
But having brains and education and logic like Floyd, he's brainy, very intelligent guy, it must not mislead you that when you are surrounded by populists, therefore you've got the numbers.
You know, it must not, that must never mislead you to think those numbers. Actually, you may irk and irritate.
So don't drink your own Kool-Aid.
Exactly.
And believe your own hype.
Yeah. Mm. But I think he said it clearly, we'll never go back to the ANC and the EFF, even after Julius has said, your position is still vacant. Mm. I think it is the end of his political career. I don't see him coming back in the next 5 to 6 years. Maybe later in life, but now, what he's trying to do, I don't think he's going to succeed.
Ndlela was on Clement's show on SABC on Tuesday night.
Yes, yes.
Talking about how he found it funny that Floyd thinks he's more intelligent than all of them in the
party. Yes,
party,
combined.
Including Obaba.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he personally could run circles around Floyd. And in my mind, I was thinking, do you think that sometimes we underestimate people's level of intellect based on the accent
or lack of formal education
and the kind of English they speak? Mm. Because I find that people who are very fluent in English often look down on those who are not as fluent in English, but see that as some measure of intelligence.
I think it's not even in political, but it's general in church,
yeah.
In church, on groups of Majita, in school and all that. I've seen it in the public service.
Mm.
Not only in English, people who are fluent speakers, whether they speak in English, people who express themselves better, people who rise in meetings at work.
Yes.
And talk because they can express themselves.
Because we're Papa, it doesn't mean you're intelligent.
Yeah, there's days in my life where my colleagues at work will say, today we want to knock off Eli. Can you just not say anything? You understand? So I'm a victim of that. But we do that mistake. I agree with you. People, when Ndlela responded, I watched that show with my, actually enjoyed it.
Because with respect to Ndlela,
yes,
if it was between him and Floyd when it comes to political savvy.
Yeah, yes.
Ne? Lin Jebu Slam.
Yeah.
Floyd would not say
around. Floyd will walk over him. But I think that became a problem in the controversies, the caucuses and meetings. Mm. And not parliamentary caucus, the organization. I think it became a problem. The way Ndlela responded, it said to me, there has been a problem.
Yes.
He was choking over everybody. Mm. Remember, there's Dr. Khope in there. Mm. There's Ndlela that is well-spoken. You know, he may not be a political animal like them.
Yes.
But he represents himself well. Mm. There's them Bomzane Lemanyi, who are civil servants, camp politicians. And there's quite a number of people. There's Andile Mkame sitting in there. So you can imagine the brains that were in that room.
It's a massive brain.
Yeah. Then you bring technocrats like the former CEO of Transnet, Mr. Molefe. Mm. And then you have people like Bo Luther Libilo, you know, very, very well-informed, well-seasoned former civil servants with over 20, 30 years experience in the civil service and politics. You know, so I saw a joke that somebody said Floyd must go and be a Joel Netshitenze of South African politics, because the people in the ANC that created this thing that Mr. Joel Netshitenze was the brains of the ANC. They used to tell them the intellectuals and all that. But politics, sometimes you have dogs and cats, sometimes you have pigeons in there who are quiet but very intelligent and observing and bringing peace in the situation. Mm. You need that balance.
Sure.
If you lack that balance, you won't make it in politics.
Speaking of 7 million rand a month, the other day Minister Godongwana called for the auditing of political parties at the IEC symposium.
Yes.
And then he said maybe the fiscus should start funding political parties. How would that even work though? Because obviously, every political party would say, we need X amount. And you can't just say, based on how many seats you have in parliament. Because I could argue, if I have one seat in parliament, I need a bigger budget because I need to campaign more.
Yes, yes. No, but I think Minister Godongwana is very silly and naughty because his political party is losing sponsors, the ANC. Mm. They need more money. They went bankrupt. They can't pay rent. They can't pay their salaries. Mm. And they are going to use the leverage.
Or maybe he's a genius. The fiscus can pay the salaries.
But why? Because political parties in South Africa that are in the National Assembly, they are already receiving money for being there. And it's based on the number of votes and proportion, as you said.
Sure.
And I like some people have brought that argument up to say,
But the small ones must get a bigger chunk so that they can grow.
Exactly.
And that is not the case at the moment. The ANC receives more money because they've got more seats, followed by the Democratic Alliance and the Controversy. They do receive money from government.
Absolutely.
But he was talking about from the Treasury.
Yes.
No, I'm saying no. Mm. That's absolute nonsense. Why do we have to fund? Then everybody will form a political party. Look, I don't have a
already
job.
Some people are forming political parties because it's a nice plan. Yeah, it's a financial plan.
If you can get one seat in the council, you already are guaranteed a certain amount of money every month for sitting in the council and that money from that councillor. Mm. And we have seen many people doing that during local government elections. But I differ with Minister Godongwana. We don't have to do that. Actually, we must put money in needy sectors, you know, employment, education, health and security, than funding this political party. We don't see what they're doing for the people after they enter parliament. Mm. Understand? We don't see. Honestly, people say I'm negative and I'm too much of a critic of MPs. But after what we have seen in the last weeks, how MPs conduct themselves, how they behave, they've actually proved me right that they are not doing what they are supposed to be doing. So why should we give them more money? We're already paying them good salaries, housing and accommodation, and they're still failing to do their loss. Look at the Minister of Higher Education. Look at the PRASA issue. Look at the issue of immigration.
Mm.
That embarrassing issue we spoke about last week.
Sure.
You know, DJ Fresh, I was actually very embarrassed to see our MPs. That's the story we cut at the end of the show last week. It is this gentleman, Soros, I don't know which political party he comes from, who was questioning a foreign national who is a CFO of Medunsa.
Oh, yes.
And I see that people are saying, Soros is very good. Yeah, he's representing the country. He is not. He's embarrassing the country. And I'll tell you why, and I've said it. You can't be a member of parliament and go and attack and ridicule an employee of a state institution like the Medical University of South Africa or Sefako Makhato University, just because Sefako Makhato has hired that person as a CFO, and this person was born in Zimbabwe.
Mm.
And as an MP, you're supposed to know.
Because surely then that same MP should be questioning other MPs in the parliament who are not born in South Africa. And there's a handful of them.
There's a handful of them. I actually said, I even made a mistake. I must correct this in front of our viewers and followers. I said the DA lady is Mazoti, and somebody corrected me. I said, not Mazoti, Mazone.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a handful of South Africans, nationalized people, who are, according to the Constitution and the Immigration Act, they are nationalized. They carry an ID of South Africa. You know, this particular person, I know him personally. He used to be my senior manager at work for finance. So I know him personally.
Yes.
He is a naturalized South African. The problem is, for them, he was born in Zimbabwe. Instead of this MP's questioning their law, and their constitution
that allows for him
to have dual citizenship. You remember the other day we had a discussion about there are countries that South Africa has dual citizenship with, and I said that was enshrined in the constitution and the immigration laws. You know why?
Yes.
To accommodate the British nationals towards 1994.
Yes.
And now they didn't realize that we signed other treaties with other countries that were friendly with us. And Zimbabwe is one of them. Zimbabwe's constitution and immigration laws allows dual citizenship. South African constitution and immigration laws allows dual citizenship. This man was born in Zimbabwe. He grew up in South Africa. He studied in South Africa. He has been working in South Africa. He's 2 of the 3 kids were born in South Africa, and he became naturalized. Now, how can an MP not know the meaning of naturalized? It means we have taken a foreign national, he has satisfied and met the requirements of being a South African, and he is now a South African. And he even asked, so do you vote in both countries? And the guy said, yes, because both countries allow me.
Exactly.
Now, why do you want to blame that person? I understand. Why do we want to be angry that somebody from Zimbabwe is working here legally? We are not worried about somebody from England.
Sure.
Is owning a quarter of this country legally.
In fact, speaking of members of parliament, Chris Wang is an ANC member of parliament. He was born in Taiwan. Xiao Mei, Harvard.
Yes.
Former ANC member of parliament, born in China.
Mm-hmm.
Karl Leroux of the DA, born in Sweden. Phumzile Van Dam, born in Manzini, Swaziland.
Swaziland, yes. Mm. There's an EFF one as well, Naledi. Mm. She was born in Eswatini. Mm. And some haven't accepted. There's been rumors of this. But for me, it doesn't matter. I don't care. If people do things within the legal parameters of what the Constitution prescribes, the Constitution makes provision. If you are a member of parliament and you don't like what the law makes provision for, change the law, amend the law. Mm. Say only people who are born in South Africa are allowed to work for state institutions. Mm. Don't come with stories and say to the benefactor, how do you feel that you are born in Zimbabwe and you are employed as a CFO by a South African institution? That man didn't employ himself. That man didn't employ himself. And he didn't even give himself the citizenship of South Africa. That government, those people, those slippists, those MPs, they gave him, they made the law to say you can give him. Yeah. Now, why do they want to question? I had wished it was me on that seat. I would have addressed that MP. That people are clapping hands that he's patriotic. He's not patriotic. He's embarrassing us. Understand? And for me, that's a challenge that we are sitting with MPs that they don't know what they're doing. They don't know the power
they possess. And unfortunately, some of these committees, because a lot of these committee meetings now become trending videos.
Yes.
It almost feels like some of them are grandstanding.
Yes.
Or they're looking for their own viral moment.
Because
often it's not even that you're asking certain questions. Sometimes it's the how.
It's the how.
Sometimes it's so performative. You can tell that this person is trying to embarrass the other person.
Yes, that's what they do. They are theatric. They are showing that their political party that I come from, it's standing for
something.
Ronaranyisa will expose this thing, embarrassing themselves. The other day I mentioned how one of the people I respected in business until he got into politics, the chairperson of SCOPA, Songe Zozibi, went on a rampage to attack the REF CEO.
Hmm.
2 weeks after things turned around, the REF CEO was called under suspension, called into parliament and the board. And it became very clear to those who watched both interviews that actually the board is a mess, not the chairperson.
Sure.
The media went and said he rented the building. He said, why? I didn't rent the building. This board, this divided board approved that. I implement. I'm the CEO. Now Zonja is sitting with the egg on his face, and I've seen the statement of SCOPA saying they're going for RAF because their board has been misleading them, has been lying, has been withholding information. Do a fact-finding process first. Once you have the facts, you go to your colleagues in that committee.
Yes, sir.
And when you are in that committee in parliament, you are a committee of parliament. Forget which political party you come from. You can push the agenda of your political party, but confine yourself within the prescripts of the law.
Sure.
Don't embarrass yourself and embarrass the country. Because now, what the international media is writing, they are writing stories like, and I've seen it in the Herald from Zimbabwe, South African MPs don't even know their laws. You understand? Because there's the impression it gives that our MPs, they don't know the provision. That's why, you know, this country also part of the conversation that we need. We need a conversation of what constitutes a foreigner or an immigrant. We need that conversation.
Sure.
And not based on emotions. Because we will find that most of us are foreigners in this country, as a matter of fact. But because we confine it to the people we don't like and we are uncomfortable with. And for me, that's where the challenge is. I mean, I've seen in Carltonville in the past week, two Pakistanis were arrested because they were telling a South African woman that
she can't open a spaza shop
because there's too many shops. She must go and open somewhere. Now the country is all boiling. They are arrested, of course, for intimidation and all that. But I'm saying, who gave those Pakistanis permits to come and live here and work here and run business? Who?
But they can't bully people into where they can and can't open a spaza shop.
That's why they are arrested. That's why the police have locked them up. You see, you arrest them for wrongdoing.
Sure.
Understand? But why did we first give them permits to come and live in this country when there's no war in Pakistan, when there's 53 countries between South Africa and Pakistan that they caused to arrive here, or over 17,000 kilometers? Why did we allow them here? And those are the things we must be dealing with. That's the conversation and the dialogues that we must be engaging with.
Sure.
To say foreigners are taking our jobs.
That a lot of what people complain about is things being done by people within the confines of what the law allows.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you are correct. The law allowed it.
Mm.
And I saw an article of people saying, what do we call it? The foundations are running the country and they're running the courts. Mm. It is true. But who allowed these foundations and NGOs that are funding political parties, that are funded by, you know, a lot of foreign nationals and so forth? We did. And those are the, you know, this national dialogue that's coming.
Mm.
And these are the conversations, the fresh, that we must engage on as a nation.
Sure.
Once our people are clear,
mm,
that when they see a Mr. Mkhwana from Eswatini sitting on the corner street fixing Botswana's shoes,
mm,
he's not taking business from South Africa. The law says he can do that. Then we must deal with our laws as a nation. But, yeah, no, talk to your politicians. They are worried about forming other political parties and how much they can eat and grandstand and be on TV than explaining to their constituencies. Because I think it's the duty and the responsibility of branches of political parties. When government give them money for constituency, they do get money periodically for, they say it's time to go to your constituency and engage. These are the things that MPs are supposed to educate their constituencies about,
sure,
and inform them to avoid xenophobia or Afrophobia or whatever, and racism. But they are not doing that. Why? Because they also do not know. They also do not know. You understand? If you know, if you put me in a community of Olive and Old Bosch, which is a township in Centurion, and say, go and tell those people that these Pakistanis, these Pazas, these Zimbabweans, these Mozambicans, they are not here illegal. We invited, we said, come to the land of honey and milk. Live with us as a rainbow nation.
Integrate.
Integrate. That's us who said that. Not them. And this is what, I don't say it's right. I don't say I support that, but I'm saying we must tell people, vote for people who will change that law. But we don't have political office bearers who are into that.
While we're in parliament, quickly, I don't know why it's a big deal, but we'll discuss it anyway. A member of parliament for the DA, Karabo Kakau, who's been in the news, apparently in December, she responded to an ancestral calling.
Yes.
But we're told there were issues. There was a meeting, a DA meeting at some stage, where people felt uncomfortable.
Yes, yes. I followed the story.
I'm confused. What's going on?
Actually, I even read her statement.
Yes.
The December process, it was a calling being finalized, coming back and having and gone through the process. She says she has been in this since 2023 and people didn't know.
Sure.
Because she didn't went public with it. But what happened, and according to the DA official statement and the report of one of the Sunday papers last Sunday, they were saying on two occasions, and this is going to be difficult for Abe Lungu watching our show to understand the ancestral calling. On two occasions, because of her calling and spirituality, she started burping. And she had the ancestral spirits. I don't want to call it an attack, but she was going through that mode and phase. I don't know the language used. And then you will start burping. I've got a lot of friends and family that are sangomas.
Yeah, same.
So I know what happens. And when it comes, some will start talking and praying and in a language that me and you won't understand. Some will start going out and kneeling down. Some will take off their shoes. So apparently, Karabo is Miss Kakau, isn't it?
Kakau.
Went through that twice during the DA caucus. She's a spokesperson of the Democratic Alliance. I actually like her very much. She's very eloquent and she speaks well. She then went through
You sound like a lot of them. You speak well for a darky.
No, but what I'm saying is not the language. She expresses herself well, not the language. Then she went through that on two occasions during a caucus. Now what's said to me is that maybe her ancestors doesn't like her being in the DA.
Why does pull her out?
Why does it happen only when it's a DA caucus? Why doesn't it happen when she's in normal parliament sitting?
Sure.
So in a caucus, those who know and understand, political parties has a caucus room in parliament where they sit and caucus and have their... So it happened twice. So when it happened, she started baby and she feels the spirit coming. She explains that, no, she even tried to take her shoes off. It didn't work. Then she took her socks off and she sat on the floor as a traditionalist, as a healer.
Yes.
She sat on the floor. And the leader of the DA caucus didn't like that. And they call her into what I termed a quasi-disciplinary hearing to say that must stop.
You're making us uneasy.
Yeah, you are making us uneasy. You can't be beeping and talking in the language and all that. But you see, Tato, that again goes back to what? When afresh, it goes back to our cultures and traditions. It goes back to language. It goes back to white people not wanting to understand our cultures and traditions. People, when we talk of culture and tradition, they think of the clothes, the Zulus dancing and throwing themselves over the floor, Botswana and Basutu singing Khiba and all. They think that is what we call about culture and tradition. That's all.
Don't you think there was a wasted opportunity on her part to say, guys, this is what I am going through. Mm-hmm. So if this happens, don't be alarmed.
Let me make an example of people that I worked with that sometimes during the course of working, they will have to take a break to go through the process, yes, spiritual or traditional process. When they come back, I've had colleagues that will not just come back and with beads, they will inform HR. So if she hasn't informed them and explained to them, then she's also equally guilty of not educating them, because it's not all black people as well understand and welcome them. Absolutely. Our people still have an issue of when they see a traditional healer. There are people who still regard sangomas as witches. When they see a traditional healer with the beads and
they think
kanga,
black magic.
And they think black magic. They don't understand. So it's the duty of the person to inform them, educate them. It's an opportunity. But she said, and without defending her, she said she thought her colleagues understand, because when she took a break to go through that, she informed them.
Okay.
You understand? But so they knew.
But did they know that after you, when you come back, there might be sporadic burping, for instance, that I might do?
Yes.
Don't be alarmed. That's what it is.
That's what you should have.
Especially in an environment where burping loudly is frowned upon, as it is.
There is.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So already we're living in such a cultural melting pot that to some people you are rude if you burp.
Yes,
if you burp
loud. To some people you are.
But if I understand that you will sporadically burp as part of the journey that you're on,
spiritual journey,
then I understand and it's okay.
I don't know.
Because if you hold it against me after I have told you, then we have it.
Then yes. We don't know what happened. We don't know how she informed them. But you are correct. There was an opportunity to educate them, to make them understand. Because like I said, I've worked with people who will go through that, understand? And because I've made it my business to inform myself what spiritual people go through. And spirituality does not mean sangomas only.
Yes.
We have some people in some churches, and you know, I've been to the ZCC church, people will just collapse and faint and do all those things. So if you have an understanding of what may happen, then it shouldn't be drama. But like I said, I wonder why does it happen only in the caucus? And maybe his ancestors are against this white party she belongs to. But again, fresh, how many white people have done wrong in the DA? Their ways of life, comments, racist tones, including Helen Zille herself, and they get away with it. They're not being dragged into DCs or what, because they explain it after I'm quoted out of context. You understand? And I mean, how many times did we hear that Steen Hazen has gone to America without approval to ask for money, and they get away with it? I don't know why Africans don't learn from the DA that they are not party members. Not party, the political party. They should know their position.
Or Mavis.
Or there, you'll be called in when the scrums and leftovers. It is like that. People who still believe that the DA is a multiracial party, they are lost. It's not. Yes, it accepts all colors in order to increase their numbers. And look how smart they are. They make their face normally spokesperson and what, but a black person. And once you start beeping and coming with some spiritual stuff, they'll be shifting it aside to mark the space. Watch how there's going to be a fallout. Yeah, challenges of this. You see why I don't want politics. I'm really tempted because I want money now. But I must just check where I'll make quick money.
Okay, guys, if Botsang was to go into politics, which party do you think he would slot nicely into? Because obviously they'd have to parachute you in.
Yeah.
In fact, the other day in Bucks, SG of the ANC was talking, alluding to the fact that if Ntate Motsepe is not a member of a branch,
yes,
you can't just parachute him in to be president.
Yes, yes.
He must join the branch first.
Yeah, but it's okay.
What are your thoughts
on that? The ANC constitution does not allow that. You must be a member for 5 years. I don't know other political parties. But yeah, let the viewers tell me if I want to go in where I can make money and guide. Look, I don't want to, but you know, Action SA?
Well, Jumpy, sorry, make money, man. You're there for the people.
No, I went there to make money primarily. I'm not there for the people. I make money. When I have money, I will share my knowledge so that the people must understand what's going on.
Okay.
No, I'm there for business. Okay. No. You know what I like these days? Action SA, they're making sense to me.
Sure.
Political sense, not civil and well. They are making political sense to me. I'm not joining anybody, but I'm saying if Herman approaches me.
But these are the same guys, Baba Jutile, just to get a vote in a budget.
It's okay. The Linda will jute them. You see, their purpose is duty. And that's the Bosa, Rise Mzanzi, Action SA, Pathotic Alliance. There's just a lot of money there. You know, there's talks now that who's this guy? Floyd Shivambo went to Malawi to get money from.
No,
Papa.
No, Barry, he took a hat to design it to go and bewitch him. What do you mean?
No, man, the other story is to get money from Papa to come and form this political party in South Africa. Then there's a story of Johan Rupert. Some old 2023-2024 newspaper articles came out that suggested that Johan Rupert may be funding Floyd. I will not rule that out, not because Floyd has been bought by white capital. I'll tell you what's going on, Todd. The South African politics, the more black people or black voters or Africans are divided, the better for white capital. People would say, why would Johan Rupert fund parties like EFF and Floyd? It is for the interest of his businesses that there must never be a majority black formation.
So
the bigger and the stronger black formations become, it's very dangerous for white capital. If I was Johan Rupert, I would fund and propel a person like Floyd, because Floyd with Zuma and EFF combined under one room is dangerous for white capital.
Sure.
So what you do is you divide them.
Keep them divided.
Keep them divided. And that makes more sense to me. And then if you want money, you are like Bhutan, and you want power, and John Rupert puts 100 million in front of me, even 5 million, I'll take it. You'll see me.
And start a party.
I'll start a party.
Botsang.
Yeah. Yes.
Ask Botsang.
I will take it. I'll go and steal people from all political parties because the intention is not to unite the people. The intention is to make money.
But isn't it generally like that? That a united, organized, woken up Africa is not in the interest of the global way of doing things.
Exactly. That once you start uniting, look at the Sahel region. And I said, once you start uniting, it's a problem.
And because everyone has a price, I would not be surprised that they're always trying to find someone who can help them get out of Traoré.
Yes. Yes, and it's going to be inside.
It'll always be an insider who's a farikinyan, a little pig, who will take money and be bought, because everyone has a price.
Unfortunately, it's very difficult to work with people with hungry stomachs and unprincipled. And last week you said to me, I'll eat principles. But that's exactly the challenge.
So
if you have a hungry person who's unprincipled, the one with the money will control it.
While we're in parliament, by the way, let's talk about SCOPA and the committees and the roles and the outcomes. Because I think of all the things happening on social media over the last couple of months, there's more SCOPA action on social media, more SCOPA viral videos than anything else happening in the country.
Look, I think that's one positive thing that the GNU has brought in.
Yes.
That people are now more woke and aware of what parliamentary committees do, like SCOPA. There's many committees, you understand? There's what they call portfolio committees as well, where anybody, even you as a member of the public, can report an incident or suspicion of corruption and maladministration to that committee. Mm. And now because there are people are, you know why? They've always been on television. There's a parliamentary channel on the DSTV platform. There's a parliament channel where all these committees discussions happened or happens live. So what people have started doing because of social media, now this is where the power of social media comes in. People take clips there and they send them with comment, then it becomes a debate. SCOPA has been doing this for many years, but it was never explained. You know why? Because now there's various political parties involved in these committees. There's more political parties who wants to be relevant, who wants to be seen to be exposing the corruption of the old two parties, the DA and the ANC. So that's why there's more talks. However, my challenge with these parliamentary committees, including SCOPA, is that fresh, I can tell the debates are robust, the engagements, the evidence they put in front of them. However, I always say, what are the end results? Mm. What do we achieve as a nation after SCOPA has exposed a certain MEC or a certain premier or a certain minister for maladministration?
Yeah, so, for instance, if we know that Netball SA or SAFA have been naughty,
yes,
where are the consequences?
Where are the consequences? And for me, that's the problem. The reason the politicians and MPs and political office bearers, actually, because they start from a lower level, from municipalities to national, they get away with this. It's because there's no consequences. Mm. Even there's no call. It's only now that I see the DA, it's calling for the removal of the Minister of Education, Dr. I forgot the name. It's now that the DA is calling for her removal because I think the damage is so much that she can't get away with it. They're even calling her to be charged actually for an unethical conduct for lying in parliament. But there's no consequences. We have seen how ministers and DGs and people are held before this committee or CEO of state parastatals, but we have never seen one to say, you breach the code of conduct, you breach the Public Service Commission rules, you breach the PFMA, therefore you are charged for that or you are dismissed. Mm. We have never seen that. Mm. They go there and they talk, it's a talk show, then there's a report to say this minister misbehaved. And then after what happens? So these committees were duly and properly constituted. They are well within the law. They are doing a good job. But there's no consequences. There's no results of then what happens when people lie to the committees, when people break the rules.
Or chow money.
We have had so many cases. I mean, the other day during the course of this week, I was looking at a case, a report from the Public Protector's Office. Do you know the story of a 15 million soccer field in the Eastern Cape?
Oh, yes.
15 million gone.
No, and then
there's only a fence and two soccer poles without even a net.
I think they're paying 15, and if I'm not mistaken, another 6 or 7.
Yes, that was 15 million gone. And this has been 7-8 years. There's no soccer field, 15 million is gone, and it's okay. People talk about it in parliament, newspapers, or the media exposes this thing. But that's why I'm saying these processes are useless if they are not putting corrective measures into place and they don't bring people who start behaving correctly. Why people continue to do wrong things and maladministration and corruption since 1994, and I don't have to talk about before 94, there was mass corruption. From 94 to today, why people keep on doing it? Because they know nothing's going to happen to me.
Because the worst that could happen is I'll be hauled in front of a parliamentary committee.
Yes.
I'll get a slap on the wrist. I might trend for a day or two.
Yes.
But the next committee will out-trend me, and then I'll go back to my life.
Exactly the point. The next committee meeting deciding another thing, it will trend. We have RAF. Then we had the Minister of Higher Education. Then we had Denny Jordan and SAFA. They come and go. Yeah, I went there, presented myself. Or I said, I'm sorry.
It got uncomfortable, but now it's fine.
Yeah, I'm back in my office. Let's go back to our offices and chow more money. And that is the problem with the civil service. Mm. And then you find people like Botsang who are outspoken, who raise those things. They deal with you, Tato. From parliament, you know, you don't know how my name is running in one of the committees at work. It's running. I actually wrote to the secretary of the committee of work, and I can talk about it publicly, to say your chairperson is corrupt. Mm. It's very corrupt. because somebody reported something about my employer, and they always think it's me, even if it's not me. And that chairperson phoned the CEO at work to say, hey, they are coming for you.
Oh, wow.
Who could be this? And the name was like, it's that Botsang. And I don't know anything about that. I'm not even, I know the people who are doing that, and I know why they're doing it. So my name is on the corridors of parliament. Let them dare call me to come and talk about what is happening.
Can't you volunteer to go to?
I'm talking to other people to say, can I come and clean my name? Let them dare put me there. You know, I'm telling you, it's, this country will know what is corruption, and you put papers on the table and say, this is corruption, this is what happened.
Sure.
And I'll follow it to the core. I'll follow it to the grave. And that's what we lack, because they'll fire you, they'll drain you money, and they'll tell you, comrade, you won't work for government anymore. But it's okay. And I said, it's fine as long as you remain with the principle.
Sure. Speaking of war, since you've decided to talk about war, let's go to the Middle East.
I've been in a war path for quite some time.
We are out of time, yeah. So we can't leave without going to the Middle East.
Yes, sir.
Israel have been going on for almost 30 years about how Iran are imminently going to have a nuclear bomb. Then the other day, all of a sudden, Israel decided that, listen, we're going to preemptively strike Iran because they pose an existential threat to us as a nation. And then Iran was like, is it? Hey, hold my coffee. Because I don't know that they drink beer there. They're like, hold my coffee. The coffee is nice and strong, though.
They drink tea in the East and coffee.
In coffee, but the coffee is very strong. They said, hold my coffee, and we'll show you that your Iron Dome is penetrable. And they went ahead and did what they did.
Yeah.
And then America, as always, Donald Trump said, in about 2 weeks, I'll decide. But within a couple of days, they'd bunker busted three sites in Iran.
Iran, yes.
And then Iran said, America, you will pay for this. And then they sent a warning, listen, we're about to bomb there in Qatar. So move your people. They moved their people. They bombed in Qatar. Trump said, thank you for warning. It's like a game, man.
It's a game of sick old white people. It's a game. It's, there is no war.
And then Trump was like, okay, welcome to peace. Now there's a ceasefire. Before his statement, before his statement had even left the condensation from his breath, more bombs were flying.
Actually,
and then Trump was swearing, they don't know what they're effing doing.
Yeah, actually, Donald Trump himself said, before I could even talk to Iraq after spoke to Israel, they said, okay, these bombs we are having in our hands, let's release them under ceasefire. Look, Tato, the other day you said something very brilliant. I can't remember what we were talking about. You said something very brilliant that, and I say to people and I look smart, that, you know, this for holy fighters, even from the World War, when it's Christmas or Ramadan, they say, pause, let's stop fighting, let's go pray. And then after Christmas and after Ramadan, we'll start killing each other again. It's the same thing, and it's continuing. There is no war. I said it many times. There will never be third world war. Some of us wish for it, but it will never happen because, remember, according to the Atomic Agency, countries that possess nuclear weapons can only use them against each other. They can't use them against us who have dismantled our nuclear program. Now, do you think those countries are that stupid? They will start bombing each other. No. Iran has sent missiles that Israel had thought it will never be penetrated. And they demonstrated that they can penetrate them. What America is doing is show, what do you call it? They are showing off. Because what the USA is doing, and by the way, the results came out during the course of the week at night that it was not effective. What they went to bomb what Israel, the three sites that Israel had bombed a week before, because they thought their bomb...
They were in a bunker.
In a bunker, yes. Their bomb or whatever arsenals are much more heavier and stronger. They will penetrate. Yeah, that's what they thought.
Yeah, they've got a legendary bunker buster bomb that can literally go, and then...
The reports have come out that it did not penetrate.
Yeah.
Despite that, Israel had done the primary damage. But, as you said, they want each other.
But also, we'll never know the truth because everything is propaganda.
they lie so much, these people. Tato, when we saw some of the pictures, and I've got somebody I'm talking to in Israel, ne? She says, you know, but on some of the pictures and videos that are making rounds on social media, they're 5 years old.
Yeah.
Some of them, it's not even in Israel.
Absolutely.
It's pictures that come from Palestine. Mm. But one thing that has come out of this that rattled the world is, and this is me bringing the geopolitics and the history of Israel. Mm. I don't know if people are aware that it's the first time Israel is fighting a country. They never fought any other country. Mm. It's the first time. Mm. They've been fighting the so-called terrorist groups, insurgent, Hamas, Hezbollah, and others. Now they are fighting a country which has one of the best militaries in the world.
Mm.
That has never been tested except during the Iraq-Iran war. And that's why they're shocked, because they're seeing what they've never seen before. Mm. People in Tel Aviv seeing missiles and drones landing in their hospitals and neighborhood, and they're saying Iran is evil. They're shooting hospitals and schools and universities. Haibo, are these not the people who have been shooting unarmed Palestinians who don't even have an army? But the Palestine does not have an army.
They're killing children.
They're killing defenseless people.
And I'm sorry, I don't care how angry you are about what, but if I'm angry at Botsang and there's a child in the room with Botsang, I am not going to bomb that child.
Or throw a grenade in there.
It takes a special brand of evil to think collateral damage, it's fine. It's just another brown person.
Yes. Now, the other evil one who's more armed than you is doing what you were doing. Mm. And now the world must now focus on saying the Muslim people are evil people. They kill children. They bomb hospitals. They've been bombing Palestine for over 20 years. And mainly it's women and children. Like I said, Palestine has no army. There's no army. You are fighting people who don't even have missiles or aircrafts, fighting aircrafts. People, Hezbollah, Hamas, and others, they are using self-propelled, rockets, and you bomb them with F-16s.
Again, it takes a special kind of evil to now use starvation to settle a score.
Yeah.
People are starving. You're denying international aid companies access to the Gaza. Because you're going to do it yourself.
Yes.
But you're treating people like animals. You're telling people you must travel there to get food. And then while they're traveling there, it's like, oh, there's an operative. Let's kill people.
And it's supposed to be the Holy Land. And that's the thing. Israel is supposed to be the Holy Land. If we can also teach Christians that the Israel in the Bible,
let me tell you something.
Not this Israel.
Let me tell you something. I'm actually not angry at Israel. I'm angry at the rest of the world that sits and watches this. How are there no global sanctions against Israel to this day?
But who is Israel? That's what we must first think. Israel, as small as it is, as tiny as it is, it controls all countries of the world or the superpowers. Israel controls the UK. Remember, Israel was formed by the British after the World War and the Nazi story.
It was part of the Ottoman Empire.
Yes. And then there's Canada, which is part of the British Empire.
Mm.
Then there's the United States, which is a concoction of everything. You understand? And who controls the world economy? It is the Israelis. Who controls the World Bank, the IMF? It's Israel. Israel actually controls the United States of America. Mm. That's why the USA and the UK can't say anything against Israel. Now you have other countries like Australia and Canada, who are, and you can see it's all the former British colonies.
Mm.
And Israel is the superpower, and that's why they can't rise against it. My disappointment is not from the world, because I understand that part of history. My disappointment is the Arab League.
Mm.
Those Arab countries.
Haile Bona, they're looking out for themselves, Pel.
Yeah. So that's my disappointment, because it's affecting them. Their airspace, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and you know, those countries, except Syria, has been standing up against Israel. So, guys, there's no way the UK, the US, Australia, Canada, and their puppets like France, there's no way they will talk against Israel, because Israel controls the world economy, they control the World Bank, they control the IMF, and they fund political parties of those.
Even in this country, they fund some parties.
Yeah, they fund some parties in this country, you understand? I mean, look at this. There's a report that said, with the Ukraine-Russia war, there's more Mossad. Mossad is the Israel intelligence arm. There's more Mossad or spies, officials in Ukraine than any other country on earth. You know, so what do we expect? It's money, it's power. This whole war is not the war of arms, the war of money and power.
You know what is consistent, though? There's not a single country in the world that has a nuclear bomb that has been treated like you're a small boy.
Yeah.
So maybe Iran have grounds to get the damn bomb. Then maybe they'll be left alone.
They will not, because they have more to lose.
And maybe your friends there, Putin, your favorite Caucasian leader, can say, oh, here's a nuclear bomb. Yeah. It's a neat one.
Look, it's China.
Maybe President Xi can do the same.
China and Russia.
And then all of this disrespect will stop.
Will stop. One must just release one of
the... No, just get your bomb and the disrespect will stop.
I'm sitting here and I probably think, do they really have them? The only person that I believe has nuclear weapons is the Supreme Leader of North Korea. Mm. That one I believe, and he has demonstrated. Mm. These others, I doubt. The way they are sick, Tato, the way the American administrations have been sick, and all of them, whether it's Democrats and what, the George Bushes, the way they are sick, the late Saddam Hussein, if they had these arms and you are dying, I'll press the button. Who will want to die when you've got a button? You just press a button. I doubt if they...
But that's why they attacked them, because they knew they didn't. It was regime change. It had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. Because if Iraq had those weapons,
they would have used them.
They would not have gone into Iraq in the first place. Yeah. You'll never attack a person that you say can hit you big if value they can.
If value can, yes. But for me, this is an economic war. America needs money. Trump needs money. And the money is on oil. The money is on foreign trade.
That's
the whole thing.
And who the hell are you to say, yeah, Iran needs regime change? The Iranians must make sure there's regime change then.
No, but
so we're not with Deputy Jesus that you think you're going to come and say, and I think I know what's best for you guys. The arrogance of it alone is sickening.
Netanyahu, you know, when I look at this guy, I've heard the word Netanyahu since I was born. Yasser Arafat used to talk about this Benjamin, and I'm surprised he's still alive. You know, countries like Iran, Iraq, and everybody are useless.
When the bombing
keep a sick person like that alive.
When the bombing started last week, didn't he run to Greece? He ran to Greece, I think.
But he still flies over the airspace. Why don't they take the jet down? But again, what people in closing don't know. In Israel, there's a political challenge for Netanyahu. Understand?
It's a solid distraction.
Yes, it's a distraction to say you must answer for what happened in Palestine. South Africa is taking you to court. It's not over. And I've heard a lot of Jewish people in Israel. They are actually anti the behavior of the Zionists.
I've got a friend who lives on a kibbutz in Israel.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that a lot of us here don't like this man.
Don't like this man.
But he will keep us busy with these other little skirmishes so that he doesn't have to answer to us at all.
Yes, that is what is happening. But again, for me, after I see Iran closing the canal, to say nobody's going to pass here, nobody's going to get oil and all that, I knew. This is it's about trade, it's about oil, it's about money. America starts a war whenever they want money.
And it's about time we said goodbye because we're out of time.
Thank you, brother man.
Where do we find you online, sir?
Botsanm@gmail.com. And on WhatsApp, it's 083-884-7787. And on social media handles, @BotsanM.
Thank you for being a part of this episode of Wow, What a Week. #Politrix with Fresh and Botsan. We appreciate your interaction. Keep the comments coming. Comment on YouTube. Or if you see the posts on social media, just start the conversation going if we haven't started the conversation. Coming to you from AMP Studios, downtown Johannesburg. AMP Studios is home to over 100 African podcasts. Yours could be next. We are part of the Africa Podcast Network. Email waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out Pezulu Works, Trevor and his crew. Follow the cinematography, all of our social media done by YBF, and shout out to our executive producer, our mother, Keletso Modisa-Keng. Till next week, have a wow week, in spite of yourselves. We're out of here.